Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zachar Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina on this Shabbat Shalom morning briefing. As we end this week and enter into our rest for this weekend, and it's very much needed, not only for this week, but for the coming battles in the days ahead. And I titled today's episode of Praying in the Quiet Places as we continue along our journey in the Reordering Our Day book from Chuck Pierce, of getting in that alignment and the flow of the Lord throughout the day. And it starts with realigning our mornings and even our evenings if you have the opportunity to. And it's not that you have to do this like a religious type thing. It's just a, hey, it's a, if you have the capability, here's some, the timing of the Lord that even Jesus walked through. And today we really see that in Jesus's life, as we're starting to get into the New Testament examples of the morning watches. We went through the Old Testament, but now we're starting to see Jesus's even continual walk in this throughout his time on the earth. And it starts in Mark 1:35. And this is talking about what Jesus would do. And it says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And, you know, the whole midnight hour when they went on the Mount of Olives, and before he was captured and hung on the cross with the disciples, the same example through the midnight hour. And so we see here an example of Jesus walking through that morning watch. There's not really a prayer point with this. It's just a reminder to, at some point, whether in the morning or at night, to find a place to have a quiet time with the Lord as you enter the day ahead. Praying even some of the things, you know, that we've been talking about, of asking for that help throughout the day, to have that peace, the wisdom, any revelation that you would, you know, need for the day ahead to help with the scenarios, resources, etc., to walk out your destiny what the Lord has given you. And so we're seeing this as an important, and I want to focus on this today, because as we learn of the events that are going on around the world, and we learn of the potential longevity of the situation, not only economically but militarily in Ukraine, and now the rumors of potentially in the Middle East, maybe even in with North Korea and with China, we're going to need to find and live in that place of the foundation of humility with the Lord, and understanding the the spiritual fruit of peace now and in the season ahead. And, you know, even if things, quote unquote, completely turn around and blah, 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 we still need to be in that place. Let's say, you know, God's person who he wants to win the next election wins. Okay. Do we still live in that place of peace, or do we live in out of that place of anger and cause us to act unrighteously? And so even in these moments of darkness, we want to find that peace of the Lord so that we can walk with that peace, to be obedient to what the Lord's called us to, not only in the seasons of darkness, but in the seasons of prosperity. We've learned from our past that, you know, we all make mistakes, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we haven't done that the best of living out of peace and living out of obedience to the Lord in times when things tend to be going better. But I want to digress, and I want to move forward with some news out of Ukraine. Some bad news, some interesting news if true. And then I want to look at some news that came out of the NATO meetings with Biden and play a clip of Biden that really tells us something about the scenario in Ukraine with NATO and even the U.S. involvement there. So we see now, we're doing a report about this, talked about how as of the day of the bombing in Mariupol with the theater, there was reports that no one had died as of yet. It's now coming out that there were at least 300 dead in that bombing. Could have been worse. There were upwards of 1,500 people, a lot of them women and children, who mostly have now been evacuated and removed from the city. The UN also came out and reported that upwards of 10 million people have left Ukraine for humanitarian reasons, most of those being, again, women and children. The men, even those who consider themselves to be transgender, are forced to stay in an episode of Living Day MASH right before our very eyes, which I think is kind of hilarious there from that playing out. But then there's also this story, and I want to point this out. This could be true. This could be not. This could be Ukrainian propaganda. I'm not fully sure. There's supposed video evidence of the gentleman who did this, but there's a report that came out. I'm not saying this is true. I'm going to that high caveat of a Russian soldier who reportedly runs over a commander with a tank and basically breaks his legs because of a mishap in a battle around Kiev in Ukraine. He said he got mad because he lost over half of his friends in the battle. If true, that speaks to the morale of the Russian troops and how bad it is getting for them, that they would run over the tanks. I mean, run over their commanders with tanks. Again, there's take it with a grain of salt. This could be true. This could not be true. But one thing that has been confirmed out of that is the fact that Russian troops are losing battles hand over fist to Ukraine's around Kiev, more importantly. The Ukrainian forces are able to hold them off, push them back, and we're starting to see that from satellite images and things of that nature. But then also what is kind of an undertow is that where the Russian troops are now outside Kiev, they're digging in. They're creating their own stronghold in those moments. And for what? Could it be to launch attacks later? Could it be to, like we did in Iraq, be able to have a strong point to be able to send forces out via guerrilla warfare style in a close combat situation? So a lot of things are playing out there. And so we're seeing this happen now, and we're learning that the response from NATO and America is to come to an understanding of how to best support Ukraine without sending troops. That's always been the situation. It's now being more drawn out. And I want to play this clip because I think, among other things, this shows the scenario and situation of where the head of President Biden is. Now, this is the clip of, oh, everybody's making fun of President Biden for saying, oh, you're trying to get me, blah, blah, blah. But I want to point to, I'm going to go forward a little bit after the question is asked of whether the sanctions work, and he goes on a little diatribe there.
Of sanctions, the maintenance of sanctions, the increasing the pain, and the demonstration why I asked for this NATO meeting today is to be sure.
This right here, what he's about to say, you know, he was asked the response of, well, you said sanctions would deter, they didn't. And this right here tells us what we need to know. You can go back and say, okay, he's in his moments of dementia. Yes. But right here, I want to play this. I'm highlighting this. I'm pausing this so we can gather and make sure we're listening to what he's about to say.
That after a month, we will sustain what we're doing, not just next month, the following month, but for the remainder of this entire year. That's what will stop him.
You believe the action today will have an impact on making Russia change course in Ukraine?
That's not what I said.
Okay. And then she asks him again just to make sure she gets the same answer. but talking about making sure that we're able and NATO's able to support Ukraine, not only for the next month, but for the rest of this year. So they're telling us that this battle's going to, the situation could possibly go on for the rest of this year. That goes in alignment with a lot of the prophetic that's out there that this will last 3 years. Chuck Pierce put that out. And so we're seeing that situation. Okay, we're getting in these relationships. We're funding Ukraine. We're handing off military supplies. But then there's also the topic of now that talks about what does the U.S. do with its nuclear weapons? What does the U.S. do in case of biological warfare? They're sticking with the long-term standing policy of if we're attacked via nuclear weapons, we're going to attack as well as via biological weapons. We'll respond in kind. What my question would be is, what do they mean by that militarily? Are we going to start giving Ukrainians chemical weapons to use on Russians? Is this now going to be how this war plays out for the next couple years as what happened in Syria? This is very, very alarming to see happen, not just for the Ukrainians, but for the potential Russians. Are we going to send rockets into Russia that have chemical weapons, knowing the humanitarian disaster that is? You saw that at what happened in Syria, which is why they were able to win the war there, because they were using chemical weapons even on their own people who were fighting basically a civil war. And so we want to pray in these moments for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with this issue and with China, because China's involved in this. A lot of these meetings with NATO and with Poland are about what to do with China as well, not just with Ukraine and with Russia. So we want to be very, very humble and have an open ear to listen to what the Lord's saying and praying for this administration. Again, we can be angry with how they got in. We can be angry with some of the policies and the decisions that they've done. But let's continue. Let's not lose focus like Daniel and saying, well, they're going to hell in a handbasket, so we're just going to leave them alone. No, it is we're here. God put us here for a time such as this, and we need to pray for this administration right now more than ever. And then also, Biden will be in Poland today. That's what this article about, talking about what to do for the future of weapons for Poland and what they'll be providing moving forward, and that comes to talk with the whole chemical weapons, et cetera, and stuff like that. Now, I do also want to point out the fact of this is kind of interesting, is that the doomsday Boeing 747, basically the flying Pentagon, has been sent to England in response to the claims that Russia could possibly use a nuclear weapon. And basically this is just to be able to communicate with troops around the world, as the president is around in not Washington D.C. And obviously they're taking proper precautions to do this, but it is they're showing militarily and resource wise they're ready for anything, and that's wise to do there. But we again want to pray for the wisdom for this administration, and then also intercede for the blanket of protection around Biden during his moments of dementia. He looked good in that interview. He was a little slow, but he wasn't as worse as he has usually been. And today, as he meets right now, as he's meeting with Poland about what to do militarily with Ukraine and the situation moving forward, as again, Zelensky continues to ask for more resources because he needs it. We're providing some. He wants more. He wants planes. He wants the Iron Dome from Israel. I mean, he wants everything, and rightfully so. He's asking you shall receive. He may not be able to go to the length that he wants, but he's getting something, and they're showing their ability for now to hold off. And the question becomes from the Russian side is how long are they going to continue to push this forward? So this is our focus, and really should be our focus for the coming months, as Biden and Jake Sullivan and others have warned us that this could drag out. Is it for them to be able to continue to blame Putin for the hike in prices and bad policy decisions that they made? Possibly. But here we're at this situation where we have to be focused on navigating this time in this season with where we know, because of the ideologies and the things that they believe, they're going to make decisions that could potentially harm us personally even further. Pray that they do as little damage as possible, standing up to this and making sure we're aware of the scenarios, what the Lord's heart is in these situations, to understand we're in right alignment with what the Lord would want. Is are we in this moment of going through pain for the Lord to wake up the church? You know, we read earlier this week about how sometimes the Lord causes pain because that's the only thing that wakes people up in Isaiah. And so we're seeing that play out a little bit here. And so I want to let's not lose focus on understanding that what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. Okay. I want to move on to the SCOTUS nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell came out. I listened to his speech on the Senate floor. He laid out pretty good reasons as to why he would not vote for her. I'm not going to here to get into that. But the situation at hand is, okay, what happens now? The hearings are pretty much over. Nobody was really persuaded on changing their vote. Those who are questionable are still questionable. Those who are a hard yes are still a hard yes. Those who are a hard no are still a hard no. And what you could see happen is more than likely is the Senate Judiciary Committee votes splits 11-11. And that would just ultimately, what I'm reading, is delay everything. But yet she will still get put. Things will still get put to a vote for on the Senate floor with no recommendation versus with the recommendation. And then we'll see where things play out from there. There are those like Senator Lindsey Graham, who have voted for her in the past, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, who have said they're going to most likely vote to confirm her. And then you would have to have several Democrats to do it if one or two Republicans voted in favor to confirm her. Now, again, I say this, point this out, this is a scenario. I'm praying about whether, you know, if there's something we can do about it. Still doesn't, I don't hear anything. Nobody's really heard anything about this. But at the end of the day, is she's replacing Breyer, who she's more left-wing than he was. But at the end of the day, nothing really changes on the court. But you could potentially see an influence later on in her life if there are more judges put in like her, who are okay with packing the court and or not answering that question of being judicial activists, as she has been judicial activist in her past, and very alarming, making stances for situations, standing against the First Amendment. There was actually a report from a pro-life counselor who in Massachusetts was forced to stay within a quote-unquote censorship zone, and the nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson, cited in favor of Massachusetts law that went against the First Amendment, and it was shown to via the court cases and the appeals, and she won. And she talked about how by her doing this, of being able to speak to these women who are going into these abortion clinics and tell them, you're not alone, we're here to help you, and we'll stay with you. And she herself has been an example of walking women through the lives of these children and staying with them and providing them and using the ministries that are there to help provide these women an opportunity to give life to these babies inside their womb, and just telling a powerful testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and showing how Ketanji Brown Jackson stood against that. So I point this out to say that this is the type of mindset that is coming forward as we're seeing the increase of life-giving policy decisions and court decisions being made around this country. And you know what? It could be a moot point. I don't know. But this is the concerning part about putting her forward is the fact that it's a lifetime appointment. And what are the decisions down the road if things change? So we're seeing that. And then I want to focus on some things to this weekend as we go into our Shabbat rest, to remind ourselves of why it's important to have that rest, spend that time with friends, family, whatever you need to know, stop working and just spend that time relaxing, that Shabbat rest that you need. I understand if you can't, you know, you have family things, different things going on, that's fine. But just highly recommend it, because in the coming days, we're going to have an ever pressing need to be obedient to what the Lord's telling us in this season, with the situations that's going on. And some of those seasons can cause us to be angry, but if anything, it should cause us to be in line and obedient with the Lord and what the Lord is showing us to do. And one of those things is that as we're seeing what's happening at our border, DHS is requesting additional Pentagon support because of the increase of migrant surge coming to the border. And know this, that in April, the Article 42 that allows them because of COVID to send upwards of half of the people coming to the border away solely because of COVID issues, that's about to end. And the Biden administration has not shown any signs of wanting to extend that. And let me highlight this point is that with this policy in place, they've been sending what's been shown, or at least been reported, upwards of half of the migrants trying to come in. While at the same time, you have record numbers. So if you have record numbers with them sending people away, now they're talking about, and it's already showing, that things are just getting overrun and they're just letting people into the United States. And with this policy, Article 42 going away, they're just going to start releasing all these people. So you thought it was bad before. It's about to get worse if nothing is done. And so this is a point of, all right, God, you're showing us what's about to happen. Now it's a point of, hey, we can't go to the nations right now. The nations are coming to us. Let's get them saved, get them healed, get them delivered, and continue to give them a heart for their country and pray that God gives them a heart for their country to go back and share the gospel, as we've talked about before here. That would be a way to respond to these situations while at the same time they're trying to deal with the situation of what's going on in the border. Also, there are concerns and reports coming out now that the IRS has again found nearly $2 billion in fraud and COVID stimulus package. And the reason I point this out is because the IRS is using situations like this, and this came from the CARES Act under Trump, where there were fraud and of the trillions of dollars that were put out through stimulus, there's more than $2 billion fraud money caught up in all this. But the IRS is saying we need this now. We need more agents. We need to figure out what's going on. We need to figure out where people are defrauding us. What could they do with those agents in the future? We've seen the reports of with the whole Build Back Better. They want 80 plus something thousand new IRS agents to be able to go and basically make the IRS a revenue generating source for the government and attack anyone with it. And I'll get to why this is more important later. We're also seeing this is for the church, is we're going to see some divides in the church of this next thing of how Chuck Schumer has made it his priority to, I believe April 4th, they're going to try to vote for this, next week. So April 4th is dealing with legalizing, federalizing, and removing the ban and legislation on marijuana, making it legal. What that means, we'll see fully. We haven't seen the bill on this yet, but basically it would basically make marijuana like cigarettes. Anybody anywhere can buy it. The fruits of why this would be bad is look at what happened in Amsterdam, because it's escalated from marijuana to now cocaine, meth, etc. You see the escalation. People claim it's not a gateway drug. It is, absolutely. And we're also seeing now the church be split on this. And so when the Bible says be of sober mind, be very clear about this. Not only that in the natural, but in the spiritual, is know this, it is a gateway drug. to the spiritual realm, a back door into the spirit. Those who tend to be open to the realm of the spirit use this to entertain the ideas of communicating with things in the spirit through drugs and stuff like that. And I've had roommates and things like that in my time who have done this stuff, and I've seen how often perverted it gets them on a empirical data point, but then also on a at large. You see what happened in Colorado right now. The things they said wouldn't happen are happening, as far as people driving and the overall depressing of society. And so there's cause for concerns there on a lot of the things that are happening in the church. We'll see what happens inside the church. That's the more point of pointing this out. And then also going back to the IRS issue of the budget and things of that nature, is Joe Manchin has now outlined discussion points with Democrats and party leaders and even some people, as he gave a speech to a fundraiser, American Clean Power Association in West Virginia, to talk about things of re-engaging the Build Back Better bill. You know, he stood up against it because of some of the things that were in it. Basically, what he wants to do is pull out those things that he doesn't want in it and then re-engage with the president on this to get something done, number one. And the focus is to get this voted, because there are some issues with offshore drilling and other things that he thinks are good, that this is why we need to engage it. You know, we need to talk about, you know, the quote unquote infrastructure and all these other things that he wants to be put back on the table and lower the $3.5 trillion proposal, which is very alarming, because this would still be some of these things that are shown to be detrimental. He's talked about how he wants, in his, what he's negotiating for is, if you're going to increase stimulus packages of $500 billion, then you need to decrease the deficit or increase the revenue. And basically increase taxes, make it quote unquote fair and equitable, so that you can have a revenue from taxes, new revenue and taxes of upwards of $1 trillion. So it's the increase in taxes at a time when inflation and interest rates are rising and you're having a shortage of foods and things like that around the world and in the United States. They want to do this at this time, which is the wrong time to do it. What that would do, and what history has shown us in the 1930s, would extend the crisis that we would be going into. This would be the absolute wrong thing. And this we saw it under Trump, as we were potentially headed towards a situation like this. Obviously the economy wasn't as worse as it is today. It was almost borderline there. But Trump came in and said, he made it a policy, when, if ever he were going to do some stimulus package, you want to put something in, then you have to remove basically 10 cents on the dollar or 10 bills on the dollar of the policy things that you were going to put forward. And it ended up being upwards, I think, of like, I know at least 20, if not like 24, 28 bills and things of stimulus packages of things going out. And look, this is contradictory to some of the things that Joe Manchin has said of, we need to, you can't spend money and then expect the overall budget deficit to come in order. In this, he talks about, you know, the clean energy and all this stuff, while at the same time producing, he says we can do it at the same time. Again, I talked about it before. That is, you can't do that. There's a scarcity of resources. You have to decide on which ones you're going to do. Pushing for clean energy and pushing for oil and gas at the same time does not allow you to have a society that will be sustainable financially in the long run. Now, if you want to allow those things to happen, that's great. Let them happen on their own term. But if you see these, understand this, all these green energy, electric cars, solar panels, all this stuff in North Carolina, it's a huge thing. They advertise, you can get solar panels put in your house and it's not going to cost you a dollar. Because the government's going to give you a stimulus package, because you're going to be paying for it through your taxes, number one. All this stuff is being funded through government taxes. Tesla exists because of tax money. All these other electric car companies are being pushed because of tax funding money. And all this stuff is starting to come out. So saying it works and all this stuff is a up for debate, whether it's even economical, and there's reasons for it, all this, et cetera. I digress to point out of there's a battle coming continually for this nation, for the heart and the soul of this nation. And Joe Manchin is showing signs of weariness, even in not just engaging in this, but willing to potentially vote for things that he said he would not vote for in the past. And you know, he talked about, he had this pride about him of, I'm not going to get in, you can attack me all you want. And he's showing signs of weariness, even discussing of the potential of giving in to voting for some of these things. So we need to, in this season, and I point this out of why it's important to get in that right alignment with the Lord, find that time to spend with the Lord in the evening or in the morning, whenever the Lord awakens you and presses upon your heart and leads you to spend that time with Him, because we need to get to a place where we're unloading our anxieties, where we're unloading those things that would weigh us down, that are not healthy, and really put let the Lord handle some situations. The battle belongs to Him. The Ukraine issue, the election integrity issues, the COVID issue, Lord, do your part where the Lord's called you to. But then at the end of the day, if you have no say in how things are done, release it to the Lord. Let Him battle. Let Him cry out. You know, repent for your sins. Come humbly before the Lord, as Natasha taught. And then let the Lord, let the angels, let the angel armies deal with what needs to be dealt with. And we can't lose focus and say, what needs to be done, when I want it, how I want it. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to get angry. That's where we get off. That's where people are getting off right now. And we need to stay focused, have that peace, trust the timing of the Lord, whether it's done in our lifetime or the next. Trust that His will, His establishment of righteousness, of justice, will come into the earth as in heaven. We bring it down as the Lord would pray. So I close with that. I know it's a lot. If you look at this as, oh, wow, all this is happening, you can get burdened down, but it's, let's release it to the Lord. Okay, Lord, we see this. We're sober. We're aware. We're understanding. What do you want us to do? What are we called to do? Where are we called to be that Esther in this season? Where are we called to make that stand, to be that light for your kingdom, so that we can reach the destiny of this nation, which is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations, whether we go somewhere, the nations are brought to us, so that souls can be saved and people can reach an eternal destiny in heaven, in line with the Lord's will over their life and for ours as well. So blessings to each and every one of you. Hopefully you guys are able to get some rest this weekend with friends and family. And we will be back again next week with more episodes of morning briefings. And don't forget, today we have our noon prayer. We have a great interview with Todd Trahan, a intercessor out of South Louisiana. And we deal with some key foundational points if you want to learn and grow from people who have experience of interceding and changing what has happened in Louisiana, dealing with some of the issues in Louisiana, but then also how can we take that and expound that to not only our lives at the state level and states where maybe these things haven't been dealt with at a spiritual level, and then at the national level as well. So be sure to tune into that, as it'll be at noon today for our noon prayer. So I close with that, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.